540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. One of rock's most powerful voices has been silenced. Tina Turner died today at her home in Switzerland. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier says she transcended music.
In those early days of MTV, in those early 80s, there weren't a lot of black artists on. So when we saw Tina walking, strutting down the street with What's Love Got to Do with It, you were like, wow.
Tina Turner was 83. Veronica Matta's 10-year-old daughter, Tess, was killed 1 year ago today in the massacre at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas.
I mean, there's really nothing that can ever stop what I'm feeling. Unless they can bring her back, and they can't do that.
At the White House today, President Biden spoke about the killing of the 19 children and two teachers in Uvalde.
How many more parents will live their worst nightmare before we stand up to the gun lobby? Establish universal background checks, establish a national red flag laws, require safe storage of firearms.
Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to announce on Twitter at this hour that he's a candidate for his party's nomination for president. CBS's Robert Costa.
Our latest polling shows Governor DeSantis trailing former President Donald Trump by more than 30 points. The question now is, can he close that gap? But doing so will not be easy.
Now to a CBS News exclusive. The U.S. Justice Department has been investigating the president's son, Hunter Biden, for more than 3 years for possible criminal violations of the tax code. Last fall, FBI sources told us they had enough evidence to bring charges. Now, CBS's Jim Axelrod has spoken to a whistleblowing senior IRS agent who claims there's something not right with the investigation.
The whistleblower's name is Gary Shapley. He's a 14-year veteran of the IRS, a supervisory special agent. And he says that he and his team ran into what he calls a slow walking of the investigation into this highly sensitive target. He says there was preferential treatment.
There's more on this story tonight on the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is optimistic about negotiations between Republicans and Democrats over raising the nation's debt ceiling.
I think we can make progress today. I'm hoping that we can make progress.
McCarthy says the negotiations will continue tonight. It was a down day on Wall Street. The Dow and S&P 500 ended the day down about 0.75%. The Nasdaq was off by more than 0.5%. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mattner. Here's what you need to know. If you're heading out of town for the long Memorial Day weekend, you will have plenty of company. AAA says over 800,000 Wisconsinites will be traveling this weekend, with the majority hitting the roads. And there's some good news for drivers. Gas prices are down about a dollar from last year. The record high for Wisconsin travel was in 2019, when 833,000 people left town for the holiday. St. Norbert Assistant Professor Ben Chan's 9-game winning streak and the game show Jeopardy ended last night. In the final round, Chan misspelled the name of a Shakespeare character by one letter. In total, Chan walked away with over $250,000. ESPN reporting the Milwaukee Bucks have narrowed their choice for a new head coach down to three. Ex-Toronto coach Nick Nurse, Golden State Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson, and Toronto Raptors assistant Adrian Griffin. I'm Jane Mattner. This is Civic Media News.
The four most dreaded words.
My computer is down.
Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC and Bat Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCandBat.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on enjoymtpleasant.org.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day million-dollar advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
At EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hidney Cuff,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagito,
hey, all my friends.
In relatives and four directions.
Do you have your mic muted?
I do.
Okay. Hey, we're back here. Welcome to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder, and we talk about local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
All right. Hey, we got a couple guests here. We are going to be talking a little bit about pipelines, and we have Barb Worth, and we have a BA grandma here. We are excited to have you guys on and talk a little bit about what's happening in Wisconsin. Barb, I want to get with you right away and talk about a little bit of the history of Line 5.
Yeah, Line 5. I'm Barbara Wythe with the Wisconsin Citizens Media Co-op, and I also live in Lake Superior on Madeline Island, and I've been following this for a very long time. Line 5 is a pipeline that was put through the Bad River Reservation up there on the shores of Lake Superior sometime back in the 50s. Actually, the Bureau of Indian Affairs apparently gave away the easement rights to the pipeline company back then to build this pipeline that was supposed to last about 50 years. And in 2013, the easement through the reservation expired, and Bad River did not renew it and told them to get their pipeline up and out of the ground. And for 6 years, they've been negotiating with Enbridge, who has refused adamantly to do that, and in fact has now threatened instead to build a pipeline not through the reservation, but around the reservation. So instead of just the two rivers, now they think they're going to cross all five of the rivers, and it's kind of a nightmare. So Bad River sued them in 2019 to get them out. And the court case went to court last November, and the judge decided that Enbridge was guilty of trespassing for all of those years. They are guilty of trespassing. They are guilty of illegally enriching themselves by staying there and making their money. But he stopped short of actually telling them to do what Bad River has been wanting them to do, is get out of the watershed. He told them to go back and figure it out, which was insane in the first place. So for 6 months since then, they have been trying to do what the judge told them. And they had the hearing was last Thursday, which I was at. And there's a very detailed report on Wisconsin Citizens Media Co-op, WCMCOOP.org. And what you're going to find there in our story is the truth, because every single media outlet all across the world is not reporting what actually happened in that hearing. And the judge said it's only a matter of time before they shut this down. It's just a matter of time. He just didn't want to be the one to have to do it.
Oh, boy.
And he also erroneously accused Bad River of dragging their feet. And told us that, well, he's going to spend the next 2 weeks trying to figure it out. Meanwhile, what's happening is there's a meander on the Bad River that's been coming very, very close to where that 70-year-old decrepit pipeline is. Mm. Now, remember, when they built this pipeline, the river was 320 feet from the pipeline. Whoa. At the time of the hearing, when the judge didn't think it was an imminent threat, it had gotten to 11 feet. And then overnight, it lost another 3 feet. And we don't have to have a big storm, because receding water will also pull that riverbank out and erode it from underneath that pipeline.
Right.
So it's a very infuriating situation, but that's kind of where we are with it.
Well, Barb, thanks. And Barb, with the Wisconsin Citizens Medium Co-op, we also have Jill Ferguson, who is, it's really good to see you, Jill. And I know you're Facebook famous with those 4 million views of the video of you being arrested. What are your thoughts? And Pinigigi, thank you for reaching out and being on.
Thank you. Remember, Robert, last time I saw you, you were here, I'm not sure it was in Madison, but I was doing the Never Michaels campaign, Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was where Obama came up and visited. I need to take a picture of him.
Yeah. So we dodged a bullet here in Wisconsin by Evers remaining in office. However, I am, you know, Paul DeMaine always calls my badass grandma tirades, you know, because I start going off on everything. I am really disgusted at this point with Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call. They have remained silent on this issue of Line 5. We've got Minnesota over there by you, where your Governor Walz and Flanagan sold out to Enbridge, and you know, and we know what happened as a result of that major destruction from Line 3 that's irreversible. And so we've got that over in Minnesota. Then on the other side of us, we've got Michigan with Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Attorney General Nessel, I think it is, who are demanding and have demanding that Enbridge shut down Line 5 and and get out of Michigan. And then in Wisconsin, we've got our governor, Tony Evers and Josh Call, hoping that they can just remain silent and nobody will know anything. And my position is if you can't shut it down, which you know, I don't believe that, you have the duty to inform the public what is happening, because this is not an indigenous issue. This is not a political issue. This is an issue literally of the survival of every living thing. 90% of our fresh water is from the Great Lakes, and you know, it's a non-renewable resource, and people don't know that, and they have the right to know so that we can take action. So that's what I'm here today to talk about, what we can do about it.
Well, just voicing it out, and I kind of what Barb was talking about, just getting it out there for people to understand, because we just we talk about things that happen on so-called liberal media, which there's no such thing. And I appreciate you. We had so many frackouts, we lost count up by the beginning of the Mississippi River up in, you know, Itasca Park. You know, there's things that aren't growing. There's no fish there just in 1 year. So this has always been a red alert, Barb. And what else can you tell our listening audience here in the next minute before we go to a break? What they can do? What can we do?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is that the Supreme Court ruled in April that when Enbridge brought these cases to the Supreme Court, asking them to dismiss these lawsuits about climate change and holding them accountable, the Supreme Court ruled that that should go back to the states. So we want to flood Evers and calls, Attorney General Call's office, with phone calls after phone calls after phone calls. He has declared a flood emergency. And in those emergency powers that he has the power to shut that line down. So, and there's other things that we're doing that I can fill you in if you want to take that break.
Yes, we do. I appreciate it. That's get a call to action. Let's get the phone numbers out there. That's the only, and people do listen to this. They do listen to the phone calls. They do listen to letters. So let's get that out there and talk a little bit of, talk a little bit more with Jill about her, what's been going on with her court-wise. So you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes, if you guys don't know this, I have a Facebook birthday. Today's my birthday. Yeah. And I have a Facebook birthday, what is it, for
a fundraiser.
Thank you, fundraiser. Yep. And so just click on there, give $5, $10 or whatever. I'm up to like $500. And last year, we did $3,000 for the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition during my birthday. So everyone, do what you can. Give a buck. Give $5. I have 5,000 friends, and we have 15,000 followers on Native Roots Radio. So do your best and support this great group.
And it's Dega's birthday today to all of our listeners. So right. Make sure you wish Robert a happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, me and Bob Dylan and a couple other famous people right. share the same birthday. Oh, the dog
Wanda
like that.
Says happy birthday.
Hey, thank you. Hey, we're here with some water protectors here, and we're talking about Line 5. And I want to go to you, Jill, right away and talk about a little of your history and how that really ties in with Line 5, Line 3, and just being an all-around water protector. Again, thanks, Barb and Jill, for being on.
Well, my water protecting started with Standing Rock. And then answered the call for the treaty people gathering in Minnesota in, was it 2021?
Yep.
So I was out there three times during that summer and arrested all three times. And it was the last arrest when I was pretty messed up by the Minnesota sheriff there in Clearwater. So, you know, I have a real bone to pick with Enbridge, and they mm-hmm. clearly with me. I have a court date coming up July 17th. They are a jury trial, and I could very well go to jail because it's very clear that I resisted arrest. I was protecting the Mississippi River from what the indigenous people warned and fought against for years, what was going to happen if that went through. And so I was holding the padlock on the water pump where they're about to take the millions of gallons of water from the Mississippi River at the headwaters during a drought. And, you know, I just took a stand and have paid a very deep price for it mentally, physically, and mm-hmm. And now I may be going to jail for taking that action. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to back down. This issue at Line 5 is critical to me. Mm-hmm. We want people to come up there and, you know, take some kind of action, come up and, you know, stand on the side of the road, hold a sign, do something. Maybe, you know, we've got a long weekend coming up here, so it'd be a great opportunity to take a beautiful drive up there and, you know, at least let the band know that we support them and let people know what's going on. So I'm hoping people will maybe take a beautiful drive up there this weekend. And again, call the governor's office and demand, you know, we need to, Robert, this is literally international eco-terrorism. This right. 1977 treaty allows them to come through our pristine land and water unobstructed. And they keep invoking that treaty. And so everybody runs scared. You know, Biden, call Biden's office. Why are we allowing this? This is a Canada first. You
right.
know, this is a Canada first stance. And I'm not going to stand for it. You know, I want people to join me. And if you can't come up there, we need digital warriors just as much as we need people on the front line. So that's real important to know, that to be a water protector, you don't have to stand on the front lines and get hurt like I did. We need you to share the information, share it in groups, share it with your friends, and make those calls to Biden's office. Tell them to demand to revoke the 1977 treaty. This is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. So, So everybody watch me. I know a friend of mine put up a page on Twitter, Badass Grandma Jill, and we'll be doing a lot of posting on there about what's going on. You can follow me on Facebook. Any questions you have? I know I want to do a lot of actions in Madison. I want to go in front of the Capitol, in front of the DNR, in front of the federal judge, William Conley, who denied this request for a temporary injunction to shut Line 5 down by blaming Bad River, like they were at fault. I'm like, well, wait a minute, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? You
right.
know, you put your pipeline up there. Don't you blame Bad River for anything.
Well, you know, Jill and Barb, the call to action right now here for all our listeners is to call the governor's office. And also, Jill, is there a way that we can support you going to court? I know a lot of the court actions here in Minnesota, people were able to come on a Zoom and watch it. Is there availability for that too?
You know, I can sure check into that because that would be really great, you know, to get media involved and to keep it out front. You know, the thing of it is, Robert, is that, you know, the video of my arrest on YouTube, again, you can go to YouTube, put in Badass Grandma Water Protector or Line 3 or Under the Earth, and you'll mm-hmm. find that the video of my arrest. The thing of it is, Robert, about the situation with me is I'm a 70-year-old white woman. This mm-hmm. happens every day to people of color by the police, right. And nobody's paying attention. And so I will do whatever is necessary to bring attention to all these matters. I mean, this encompasses everything. And right. so I'm out here to say to people, you know what? If they're going to do that to a white 70-year-old woman, they can do this to anyone. And we've got to stand. You know, it's either... You know, I coined a phrase, you know, together we rise, divided we succumb. You know, right. It's time for everybody, all nations, to come together and be the seventh generation who's manifesting prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Barb, I know that with our fight with Line 3 here in Minnesota, we talked a lot about this is a foreign company. This is not a company from the United States that is impeding on our land and leaving our land barren and lifeless. And they don't care. They're not from this country.
No. And in the case of Line 3, I too was arrested and in jail for a couple of days. And my charges were dropped. But here in Wisconsin, I think what people have to realize is that if that pipe ruptures, we all know the devastation, pretty much the genocide of the Bad River people, because that will completely wipe out their wild rice beds, the sturgeon. But you have to remember, that's going to go out into the harbor. And where I live on Madeline Island, the flow charts show that it will flow up the river, up the lake, almost to Marquette along the shoreline and along the whole Shawangunk Bay, over to Madeline Island, where it will envelop both sides. And you have to realize that you cannot run boats on an oil slick. So if this pipe were to burst in the July, when we have 10,000 people, FEMA has to come in and airlift us out. This is a world-class emergency that I cannot stress enough that people engage the AG's office. The Josh Call's office is 608-266-1221. And we actually have a meeting with him on Friday morning at 8:00. And several of us are going to go in and see if we can talk any kind of sense to him. And if you want to call the governor, it's 608-266-1212. And we should be flooding their office 24/7 because we've got 5 feet left, 320 before that pipeline ruptures. This is a state of emergency that I can't say enough about.
Jill, I want you to have the last word. And one of the things I want to really reach out to you too, again, we're going to have you on again because we need to amplify this, what's going on in Wisconsin and what's happened to us here in Minnesota. And really, these phone calls do work. Jill, what's your thought here in the last minute or so?
To reiterate what Barb said, this is at minimum a national emergency. You know, the Great Lakes, there isn't anybody in this country that doesn't depend on it. We got water drying up, rivers drying up, Lake Mead drying up, everything out west. They're going to be coming for this water. And why aren't we doing something to protect it? There's also the Great Lakes Compact that all of these governors are responsible for you know, keeping in trust the water for future generations. And they're not doing that. And we need to demand answers. We have the right to demand answers.
Exactly. Hey, and I just want to leave it with this. That's, again, we need to have you come on and maybe do the whole show and talk about this. And we have the get the call the governor's office, 608-266- 1212. That's the first thing you can do. Anyone can do right there. You guys, thank you so much for reaching out. This is a big deal to us. And we're going to have you on again real soon in the next week or so, because this is the things we talk about. We're here to protect the water. Thanks, Barb. Thanks, Jill, for stopping in.
Happy birthday, Robert.
Happy birthday.
Peeny Gigi, thank you. Hey, up next, Wendy, we're going to be talking a little birthday, and we're going to talk, our sacred animals. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future.
Right. Seems like everyone is divided these days.
Oscar is frozen custard. The other, root beer at John's Drive-In.
Can't we find some common ground?
The Shaw. W-A-U-K.
CBS News special report. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis was planning to announce on Twitter about half an hour ago that he's running for president. But the sound cut out. Twitter owner Elon Musk.
So, I'm obviously very excited to Governor DeSantis make this up.
Musk explained that the platform was experiencing technical difficulties.
We're just reallocating more server capability to be able to handle the load here. It's really going crazy.
But the announcement has now restarted, and DeSantis has made it official.
Well, I am running for president of the United States to lead our great American comeback.
DeSantis has been dealing with the wrath of former President Trump for months, as he prepared to announce his candidacy, something he's been doing for years. Once again, Ron DeSantis, an official candidate for President of the United States. CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson is pleading with the state Senate committee not to make local leaders go to referendum to raise city and county sales taxes.
County council members are close to the communities they represent and can make informed and timely decisions on behalf of their constituents. A referendum, though, adds a significant element of uncertainty.
The Republican leaders of the Assembly and Senate disagree over the Milwaukee referendum requirement. A police dog in southwest Wisconsin is dead and its former handler is out of a job. Colt was a Monroe County canine officer and died of heat exhaustion after being locked in a hot car last week. Detective Alex Moss has quit the department. In sports, the Brewers blanked Houston last night 6-0. The rubber matches this afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
North Shore Healthcare is hiring. As the largest provider of post-acute care in Wisconsin, they offer skilled nursing and assisted living services, as well as home health and hospice care through North Shore at Home. They're looking for compassionate individuals who want to make a difference in the lives of those they serve. If you're a CNA, licensed nurse, administrator, or business professional and want to grow your career, visit nshorehc.com/careers to find out why North Shore Healthcare is the right choice for you.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on enjoymtpleasant.org.
Okay, let's get real.
Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired at your dead-end job? Want to stop worrying about money, health insurance? Get peace of mind right here, right now. Here's your chance to earn while you learn. Get smart. Call Smart Local 18 to learn how easy it is to be happy again to go to work. No matter what your situation is, everyone everywhere deserves an opportunity. Call now, 262-798-1818. That's 262-798-1818.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Mm-hmm. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and we've been discussing our sacred animals for over almost 8 years here on Native Roots Radio, and I'm just proud to have Wendy on and to speak her truth. Wendy, welcome.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. But today I have a couple of things going on. Yes. So, yeah, Robert. Friends of Minneapolis Animal Care and Control. That's our shelter here in Minneapolis. Wow. It's called Friends of Minneapolis Animal Care and Control. Their acronym is MACC, M-A-C-C. Mm-hmm. And they posted this a few days ago on Facebook, but they're wondering, are you a cat whisperer? Yeah, they said we need kind, patient cat lovers to take on some nervous, shy cats at MACC. Yeah, and we've got lots of them. And all of the cats would probably do best as an only cat in the house. They said all MACC animals over 6 months old currently have no adoption fees.
Wow.
Yeah, to help get as many waiting adult animals out of the shelter and into a home. Kittens under 6 months are $100, $50 to Minneapolis residents, so they're a little bit cheaper. And walk-in adoption hours at MACC are Monday through Friday from 1 to 5 p.m. And they are located at 212 17th Avenue North, Minneapolis. So you could go and visit their website and you could see the cats that they have for adoption. And they have their names, the cats' names, pictures of them, and a little description about the cats. So
I'm kind of a course, but cat whisperer.
Yes, you are, Robert. Robert is a cat whisperer.
I say, come here.
So we have a story. When I met Robert many moons
it's
ago.
My birthday today.
Yes. Too. I wasn't sure whether I was going to mention that on the segment or the next one, but I'm going to wish my husband a very happy birthday. Happy birthday, Robert. Many more.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, of course. So I came with a cat named Tommy. So Tommy was a nice big old white cat, and he was a lover. He loved everybody, and fell in love with Robert right away, and he was with us for quite a long time. And then after Tommy passed, that was Clyde. What are we talking about? Oh my God, I'm getting all my cats mixed up. We've had so many pets over the years. So
just since you've been here.
Oh my goodness. So 23 years ago, I had a cat, Clyde. So Clyde came on the plane with me from New York to here
for his new forever home.
The cat traveled all over the place with me. I had it for many years. But anyway, Clyde was a super cat, and he loved Robert right away. And then Clyde passed. And I remember, Robert, you're the one. Robert came home, and he was like, oh, I was at the adoption event or wherever. It was like it wasn't a pet store. It was like Petco, but they had adoption events there.
And they had a wall of adopted cats. I think it was just cats. I don't think it was dogs.
They had just cats there up for adoption that came from different shelters in the area. They were trying to get these cats. And Robert, you came home and said, oh, Wendy, there's a cat there who's a nice big white cat, looks just like Clyde. You would just love him. You would just love him. Come and see, come and see. But at that time, I wasn't really
It's been a while, though.
I wasn't really ready. I was like, no, I can't. You know, Clyde was really a very special cat to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the next week, I think you went back there to pick up some pet supplies or whatever. And he was still there. And you were like, Wendy, you have to just come and see him. Just come and see him. Right.
It was my job to pick up pet supplies. You didn't come.
Right. Exactly. So I was like, okay. So remember, we went there and we saw the white cat in the cage. And I was like, oh, wow, he's so beautiful. But if we get him,
right,
then we have to take this one over here.
Well, I had one picked out, remember? You said it. We had to have two and cats. I had another one picked out.
Yeah, but I wanted this one particular cat who was up in the cage, and she was facing the back of the kennel, and she wouldn't look out. And I looked on her card, like each cat had a little card with a little description about them, and they were just saying that, like, she was there like the longest, like she was there for like 8 months trying to get up for an adoption. So I was like, you know, she's not friendly, she's not giving you eye contact, right, she's not coming to the front of the cage, you can't pet her, she's, nobody's gonna want this cat,
right?
So if we get this white cat here that's nice and friendly and lovable, then I want this cat too. So we have to take them both today.
What a good call. And in retrospect,
Robert was like, his eyes popped open. He was like, oh, okay. And we brought them back home and they hissed at each other for like an hour. And then they became best friends. Right. And Princess, she was the shy one who wouldn't come out of in front of the cage. And remember, she stayed in my closet.
Yeah.
I had to put a bed inside the closet and she stayed in there for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And she would only come out.
She'd come out when we weren't around to eat and go potty.
That's right. And then, but she would peek around the corner and she would watch Robert like playing with the other animals and talking kindly to them and petting them. And then you worked with her a lot to like get her out of her shell and like, you know, pet her and be really soft with her and kind of call her with your fingers, like move your fingers around and go, right? Yeah. And she would come and she became your cat. Like that cat, honestly, Robert would come home from work, walk in the door, and the cat would
run
like a dog would run to greet their owner at the door. That's what Princess would do. So we had Princess, and then the white cat was Tommy. Yeah. And Tommy and Clyde had very similar personalities. So I would encourage everyone to head out on to Friends of Minneapolis Care and Control in Minneapolis. And they have plenty of cats up for adoption, and any animal there, dog or cat over 6 months old, is currently has no adoption fee. Walk-in adoption hours again on Monday through Friday from 1 to 5 p.m. and they are at 212 17th Avenue North, Minneapolis.
Right on.
In Minneapolis, not North Minneapolis, 17th Avenue North, Minneapolis.
Right.
So yeah, and you could have a great pal for many, many years. And yeah,
I remember laying on the floor and Princess would come running to me.
I know, she was
like, if I was okay.
She was a cat who used to go down in our basement and find things like little twisty ties or like a bag of like screws and stuff, like a little Ziploc bag, and or dirty socks. And she used to carry them upstairs. And as she was walking up the stairs, she'd meow, meow, meow. And then she'd drop them in the kitchen and dining room floor. And I asked the vet why she was doing that, because I thought, well, maybe she had babies someday and, you know, one day and she, you know, these are her babies. And he said, no, cats are hunters.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's going down there. She's hunting. She's hunting around for dirty socks and things. And then she's coming back to give you presents. She's showing you her appreciation.
Good thing it wasn't a dead bird, right? Like a lot of people get, but that's what she was doing.
I had dead birds when I had cats who went outside. Oh, yeah.
They gave you a little gift on your bed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Right on my pillow. I would come home. We had a cat. We had a cat named Snoopy when I was a kid. Don't ask. Wow. But anyway, I would come home and my mom would be, Snoopy left you a present. I'd be like, what? And I would find all kinds of dead mice, birds, like just junk. But I kind of felt very honored, because out of four people in our house, Snoopy was a cat, a big gray alley cat kind of cat. He would put the stuff on my bed because he loved me the best.
Do you remember when our daughter lived with us and she thought I just got undressed in the kitchen with all my socks? She was like, I'm not saying anything, but
She's like, well, everybody lives a different life, and yeah. I didn't know. What? Well, you know, maybe Judge's father in right. Ho-Chunk. Maybe Judge just, you know, puts the socks on the floor in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, and sometimes if there was quite a few and I hadn't done laundry, sometimes they'd be like, oh my God, I think I counted one day like 15 socks.
Yeah, we were, so everyone like, would tell us, well, you got to train her to bring them down to the laundry room, not take,
I know,
not, you know.
Right, but it was so cute. I have so many videos of it too, and it comes up on my Facebook memories.
She was a muffled, young, she would be meowing loud, but it would have a sock in her mouth, so it'd be muffled.
It was, yes, I have so many videos of that. It's really, it was very, very hard.
We're not
warming.
Talking little teeny socks either. It's like the tube socks back
yeah,
in the
like
day.
Yeah, like big feet sock. Big feet men's socks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one time she brought up a blouse of mine and she couldn't carry it all the way up the stairs.
God.
So it was like halfway up the stairs. So.
That's crazy.
But we had so many good memories of her.
Yes.
And I would always thank her. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'd be like, oh, thank you, princess. You did such a good job. Mm-hmm. You're such a good girl. And I'd give her pets. And she was like so proud that
right.
she, you know, found these things. And we just thought it was the cutest thing. But yeah, I know she really was. I loved her.
But that was a situation. I just want to rewind. We only got like a minute left in the mm-hmm. segment. I just want to rewind and say what was a miracle about that cat is I wanted this other cat with Tommy, whose name was like, I don't know, Springy or something, White Springy or something. But we changed his name and it ended up being Tommy Get Down. But that's because he was always on the table.
Yeah.
Tommy Get Down. But to bring back the story one is that you wanted this cat that was here the longest and people didn't want, looked mean, and it ended up being the best, friendliest, most grateful
mm-hmm.
cat we ever had.
That's right. I know. She had, you said, she's mean. She looks mean. She's going to bite me. I remember you said that. I'm like, she's not going to bite you. Let's bring her home.
I know, we did.
And that was her. And she was the best. So check it out.
Hey.
Friends of Minneapolis Care and Control.
Hey, do you got time for a quick another segment, Wen?
Sure.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
With spring here, fun is waiting for you at the Park Tavern. The Park Tavern is a great get-together location for family and friends. The food at the Park Tavern is outstanding with something for everyone. Pizza, wraps, sandwiches, burgers, salads, entrees, pasta, and wings. Take advantage of the best bowling lanes in Minnesota and enjoy the full menu while you bowl. The Park Tavern has all the big games on its many screens, and if you're looking for a private event, the Park Tavern offers private event packages for any size group. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, spring fun has sprung at the Park Tavern.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1,
U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
That's my birthday howl.
I know. Ooh. I'm so happy. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to me.
Now, Robert's my age. I'm 6 months older than him.
I married an older woman. Hey.
He's rocking the cradle.
That's right. That's right. So, Wendy, we appreciate you doing another segment. I know you got to get going here. And yeah. I'm going to be, looks like, 6 minutes over my allotted time here, so I appreciate you stopping. It'll be and so what else you got here for an animal segment here on my birthday? I don't know, I'd like to talk about Lucy for a second if you don't have anything. That's our third cat, and I remember when you picked her out at one of these shelters too.
I know. Well, I was there by myself picking up pet supplies. And again, there's a wall of cats in this adoption room. And you walk in the adoption room and there was a little Lucy. She was 5 months old, a little black and white cat. And she was meowing like crazy and like sticking her paw out of the cage. Like, come help me, help me, help me, help me. And oh my God, she was so cute. She was the cutest little thing. And then I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, you know, we have these two older cats. It would be nice to have a kitten. We haven't had a kitten ever, right? We never had a kitten. Right. We always get these big old broken down cats. But so I remember texting you and saying,
I was at school,
Robin, and
I
had here, and there's this cute little cat, and she's so adorable. Can I get her?
She wants me. She's reaching out to me.
And you just said, okay, I can't see the difference between two or three cats. And I was like, wow, you're saying yes. So I was like, okay, I'm not asking again.
It was like, what's the difference between two or three cats?
Yeah.
Well, we found out.
There is a difference. But anyway, we got her. And I took her in the car and I was going to bring her to you so you could see her and meet her. And she pooped in my car. But she was so cute. But anyway, that was a very long time ago.
She could sound like a bird. She chirped for many, many, many years.
Yeah, she had a very meowy. She's always been very vocal.
Yeah.
And she just turned 17 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So she's up there. She's in kidney failure, but she's had a kidney failure for 2 years now. And I bring her to the vet every week and she gets fluids.
She's holding her own. We used to try and give her fluids ourselves and we worked pretty well until she got really smart. And then it didn't work after that, but we did it for a long time.
Yeah. But she's doing great and we just love her. but you know, I just took Wanda for a walk. Aww. I wanted to just talk about this for a minute.
Okay.
But I've took Wanda, our little dog, for
your favorite.
I don't have a favorite.
Sure.
Well, maybe I do. But, so I took Wanda for a walk earlier. She loves to walk. And, years ago, I read this article about it's really important to let your dog sniff. So let your dog sniff instead of focusing how far you have traveled with your dog in steps. Begin to focus on how much your dog has sniffed on their walk. Sniffing is a calming, mentally engaging, and therapeutic activity, which many of us leave off the agenda during outings. When we allow our dogs to take the world around them through their nose, this provides an opportunity for relaxation. So I've read that years ago, and I always say to myself, okay, this is her walk. This is not my walk. I can go on my own to do my fast walk or get my exercise. But when I walk the dogs, it's their walk. So I let them do the sniffing. If she wants to roll around in stinky stuff, I kind of let her, because then I wipe her when I get home with those dog wipes. I buy these dog wipes and I just wipe her, and she really likes it anyway. But it breaks my heart when I see people walking their dogs and the dog has to heel by their side and the dog can't stray or sniff. The dog has to walk like a soldier. And that's how the dog walks. And I feel like dogs need to, like the article said, and that little, you know, snippet that I read, dogs need to, you know, take the outside world in and sniff and, it, you know, sniff around and, you know, Wanda eats a little piece of grass here and there. And then she kind of trots a little ahead of us, but then she comes back to us and, you know, just kind of let her do her own thing. Let her, you know, be the dog that she is, you know, and it's her personality. And, you know, some days she sniffs more than others. Some days she just wants to walk, 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 walk. And it's up to her. So I would encourage everyone to let their dog sniff.
I think you should give an update, too. We talked a little bit about our little Wanda tearing her her ligament.
So Wanda tore her ACL and her meniscus in her back right leg, her rear.
Left.
Oh, is it her left?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Her left rear leg. Yeah, she just went out and it was icy out there. I imagine she saw something. Neither one of us. I was out of town, but one of, you know, I mean, you can't watch it 24/7 and she must have saw another animal or something and she slipped or ran. She's very kind of hyper.
Right.
And she tore her ACL and her meniscus and then she had to have surgery.
I know.
Yeah. So she had no way of putting any pressure on that back leg at all. And she really, really loves to walk. That's really her favorite thing to do in the whole wide world. So we really wanted to give her the surgery so that she'd be able to walk again. So we did. So she had the surgery and then she's got to stay really quiet for a really long time. Like, I don't know, 6-8 weeks. I can't even remember. But anyway, she's a wild, wild girl and she broke one of the barriers we had set up so she couldn't go down the basement. But
well, talk about the operation real quick. The operation was a high density fishing wire in her knee. And
So high density fishing wire in her knee to hold the ligament to the bone. And, you know, he did a lot of intricate, you know, surgery. It was a 40-pound, you know, wire that he put in her leg for a little teeny dog because I told him that she's very, very active. So he put in a bigger wire. But she broke through the barrier going down the basement while we were out one night. There was a thundering and lightning storm. And when we came home, she was on the opposite side of the barrier. And we were like, oh, my goodness. So then we took her out and she started walking and she started limping again. And we were like, oh, my God, something happened. She's hurt herself again. Sure enough, I brought her back to the vet. And sure enough, she broke that 40-pound fishing wire type thing that they use to hold the ligament to the bone. And it was it's gone. But now she seems to be really doing well. We're not going to do another surgery.
She's walking on all
fours. On all four,
she's
fours.
Not a three-legged dog
anymore.
Yep,
the doctor fixed the meniscus and her stabilized her kneecap, so she is doing well and she's walking. Robert's birthday. Happy birthday, babe.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back tomorrow, the day after my birthday.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
We're going to a body party. Yes, we're going to a body party. Yes, we're going to a body party. But I would like it today.
four most dreaded words.
My computer is down.
Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC It Back Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCItBack.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
Love the outdoors, but lack the gear to explore it? River West Outdoor Pro Shop has everything you need. Rock climbing, snowshoeing, kayaking, and more. Don't know what you need? Come visit the shop located in the basement of Milwaukee Turner's at 1034 North Velar Phillips Avenue. Their friendly staff will help you find what you need. For questions and hours, call 414-272-1733, extension 16. 414-272-1733, extension 16.